The Lillian McDermott Show.
We love, we fear, bridges we burn, we make mistakes, then we live and learn. When life gets tough, and it seems like your best ain't good enough. If you're in need of hope, you know where I'll be. I'll be right here, right here. And when you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll be right here, waiting for you.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend. The Lillian McDermott Show. To reach out to Lillian, visit her on the web at whenyouneedafriend.com. Now, let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Hello, my listening friend. It's so nice we can meet each other on the air on this beautiful, best day ever. And for those of you who are new to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, the purpose of the show is to provide a safe place where you can go to when you need a friend. It is my commitment to provide alternative ways to heal, and it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you, my listening friend, and my viewing friends as well, will feel empowered to embrace a new truth and live the life of your dreams. Now, today we're giving out a book for those of you who suffer or have been told that you have an autoimmune disease, or you are wanting to stay away and stay clear because prevention is key, autoimmune disease, then I want to encourage you to be the seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959, because today we're going to be discussing the book, No Grain, No Pain. And we've talked about, you know, with other doctors about grain and how it affects the gut, but we're going to go a little bit different today. It's a little bit different. It reminds me of when we have Morley Robbins on the show. He's got just a little different and a little twist. And for some of you, it's going to resonate. And for others, it's just, let's embrace, let's learn about it. Let's see how it resonates with our body. And so today, I want to ask you if you would like to heal your body without medication, huh? Isn't that what we talk about on the show all the time? You can take a pill or you can take responsibility. Now, how many people take these pills to help something and then turn out that you need another pill for the side effect and another pill for that side effect of the two pills combined, and then a third pill for the three pills that are combined? It becomes maddening. And not only that, it also creates a new disease. And then there's a pill for that one too. So today we're going to talk about how do we stop the madness and start looking at the root cause of whatever is going on. So today we're going to be talking to Dr. Peter Osborne, who has written the book, No Pain, No Grain, No Pain, right? I think that's the name of the book here. And it's a 30-day diet for eliminating the root cause of our chronic illness. And since it is our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge, I am grateful that Dr. Peter Osborne is here to do just that. Welcome, Dr. Osborne, to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Well, I am thrilled. So today, the seventh caller or texter, I'm already getting calls. So make sure that if you really want this book, you nail this one, 407-373-5959. So Dr. Osborne, share a little bit about your background, because your philosophy is a little different, but not much. I mean, I don't want to focus on the differences, but I do want to find out how you came to those differences. But share a little bit about your clinical background and what led you to your beliefs today.
Well, when I was training in graduate school, one of the rotations I was able to do was through rheumatology through the VA hospital here in Houston. And I'm a veteran of the Air Force. And so here we were seeing all these veterans coming in with chronic autoimmune pain diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and scleroderma and multiple sclerosis and, you know, spinal arthritis, just, you know, you name it. If it's an autoimmune arthritis, they were coming in with it. And, you know, what we saw day in and day out was nobody really got better. Their pain was being appeased by cancer medications, by strong immune blocking medications, and by steroids. And when that finally failed them and their joints were so destroyed from the disease, then the surgeons came in and then they did joint replacement. It was, you know, again, I'm not anti-medicine, but it was, but the feel for me was very much a mill. It was like, let's just treat them until that we can't treat them anymore. And then we'll do surgery. Mm-hmm. And that to me didn't seem like a solution because these guys, I mean, they were being hopped up on these very, very potent medications. Some of them would end up with cancer because of the medication.
Yes.
Some of them would end up with other types of infections because of the immune suppression, or they'd end up with bone loss because of the chronic steroid use. And that didn't make sense to me. How could you treat one disease and then the very treatment for the condition actually led to more diseases that then you had to continue to medicate more? Just what you were saying opening the show today. And to me, that never really made sense. When I left the VA hospital, because they wouldn't let me practice any nutrition there at all.
And you were there as a doctor. You're going through your residency for a doctor of chiropractic.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, I brought up, look, let's take some people and let's do nutrition over here. Look at all this research on fasting. If we just have some of these patients fast for 48 hours, you know, the rheumatology research shows that their pain will go away. If we try fish oil, it's as effective as non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And the research shows that. So let's look at these things. Hey, better yet, let's look at the one model of autoimmune disease where we know the cause, celiac disease. The cause is wheat. The cause is barley and rye. It's gluten. Why don't we at least take an arm of people with these forms of autoimmune disease and see if that diet even helps them at all? At least maybe we can advance science. Maybe it won't work, but maybe it will. And I was kind of laughed at and said, no, we're not going to do any of this stuff. And so when I left, one of my very first patients in private practice was a little girl. And her name was Ginger, and she had a terminal diagnosis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. The doctors gave her 6 months to live, and we will come back.
Yeah. And you're now taking over. And we're going to continue our conversation when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
Right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn and grow with one another. Today, the book is called No Grain, No Pain, but there's a little variation to the grain because we've always heard that it's about wheat and gluten, but Dr. Peter Osborne will share with us that it's more than just that. Even quinoa? Don't do this to me, Dr. Osborne. Okay, so let's talk about autoimmune disease and the myths of autoimmune disease, because you cover this in the book. And by the way, be the seventh caller or texter, and you can win a copy of this book, 407-373-5959. Okay, so let's talk about autoimmune disease and what is autoimmune disease.
So autoimmune disease is basically a process when the immune system, it looks at your own tissues and it sees not your tissue, but it sees the potential for your tissue to be an enemy. So it attacks it. And the progenesis, or the kind of the precursor to autoimmune disease, there's four trigger points. One trigger is infection. One trigger is vitamin and mineral deficiency. One trigger is food allergens. And one trigger is environmental chemicals. So we have these four basic big triggers. Now, there are other categorical triggers. Emotional responses can be a trigger. Somebody who goes through, you know, traumatic experience in life and the stress from that can be a trigger. But most people who have chronic autoimmune disease, in my personal experience, don't have it over emotional problems. They have emotional problems over not being able to find out why they're sick because they've all been told they're crazy. They didn't have a big emotional trauma. They had, you know, either an infection or vitamin or mineral deficiency or a food allergen, or they had a chemical exposure or a combination of those four things over enough time that the process, there's this process called molecular mimicry. Let me define what that is. So first happens something called leaky gut. Whereas when you have damage from food, it can cause little microscopic holes in your gut lining. And so these little microscopic holes, imagine the toxins from your poop leaking into your bloodstream, because that's basically what's happening. So when that happens, some of these toxins look like you. Some of these toxins, for example, in some of the foods that you're eating and some of the bacteria that are harboring or living in your gut, some of these things look like your joints, or they look like your thyroid gland, or they look like your skin, or they look like your hair follicle, or they look like your liver. And so at first, your immune system is just seeing these things leaking through a leaky gut, because 70% of your immune system is right behind your gut wall. Mm-hmm. So these things are leaking into your immune system, and your immune system is saying, we need to defend the body from these things that are leaking through. We don't want these things to come in and hurt us.
Yeah.
So it attacks them, and it tries to quarantine them off. But over time, the immune system starts seeing the thyroid and says, hey, you know what? The bacteria that's been leaking through that hole looks like the thyroid. The thyroid's an enemy. And then it starts to attack the thyroid too. So we get an autoimmune condition. Now, there are a plethora of different forms of autoimmune disease. It's all based on location. The way doctors basically diagnose it is based on location. So if you've got, for example, rheumatoid arthritis, it's a location issue plus a lab issue. Doctors will run some labs if you have morning stiffness, if you have positive rheumatoid factor, and the pain is predominantly in your wrists, hands, or knees. That's usually what they call rheumatoid arthritis. Now, if the pain travels around from one joint to the next, to the next, to the next, it's typically what we call reactive or migratory arthritis. If the pain is in your soft tissue and you have a rash on your face that looks like a butterfly, that's what we typically call lupus. So all these autoimmune diseases have a similar underlying origin or cause, meaning those four factors that I just talked about.
Yeah.
But how each one of those four factors affects different people is very, very different. And let me give you kind of an example. If we lined 1,000 people up and we gave 1,000 people aspirin, they would not all have the exact same effect from taking that aspirin. Some people would have an anaphylactic shock and die, right? Aspirin kills 13,000 people a year properly used. Some people, their headaches would go away. Some people, the aspirin would cause gastric bleeding or intestinal bleeding. Mm-hmm. For some people, it would do nothing, right? So think of those causes as different people reacting in different ways, because we're all unique. We all have our own set of unique genetics, and we all have our own unique environment.
Okay, so you're talking location, 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 which we've heard all about location and how important location is. But here's again, you're talking about molecular kind of like mimicry, but there's also Lyme disease, and there's also other things that mimic whatever we have. So there's a process of elimination, right, that you go through?
Yes.
Okay. But then there's also when you think about the location, food can mimic, because if we're eating foods that the body can't process, it will also look at food as a violator of the body, right?
Absolutely.
So at what point do we know what's right for us, and that our autoimmune disease? So you're saying all autoimmune diseases are created from the start of a gluten allergy?
No. I'm saying that gluten allergy plays a huge role in autoimmune disease. And scientifically speaking, it is the only validated, confirmed, 100% believed in cause for any one autoimmune disease. It's what I was talking about. When I was in the VA hospital, I wanted to use the celiac model in rheumatological disease, meaning, look, we know celiac disease is caused by gluten. Why wouldn't we look at Hashimoto's or rheumatoid arthritis or lupus and gluten too? Because if most doctors would argue, we don't know what causes autoimmune disease. It's idiopathic, meaning we have no idea what causes it. Yet we know of an autoimmune disease and we know the exact cause. Why wouldn't we use that as a model? Because why would we use Enbrel or these really powerful immune suppressing drugs that we know cause cancer, and we actually know they also contribute to further deterioration of the body and autoimmune disease? Why would we use that as the first line therapy?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because the pharmaceutical industry makes a lot of money. Yeah. And it's show me the money, show me the money. It doesn't matter. And we have been desensitized to think that the white coats and the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA and all these companies that make a promise to protect us, will protect us. And if you think about it, in the Bible, we're compared to sheep. And what do sheep do? They follow the shepherd. And the shepherd has become this white cloth, you know, this white coat that we don't even question anymore. And so we've got to, and I hate using that word, got, you know, there's no other way. We need to wake up. We just need to wake up and see that we are our own MD, our own medical detective. That is it. And so if we get just so angry that we've been lied to, but we don't, we say, okay, well, let me trust this other medicine. And, you know, we've been so dumbed down and trained. And I was just sharing this with some other person this week. I was saying, I was watching, every time you watch a commercial, beware of pharmaceutical commercials. You see all the beautiful imagery. It is so beautiful and so seductive. But if you think about it, I've got diabetes. I'm taking this new pill. And then that's it. That's all they say. And then the next thing you see, it's like a auctioneer talking about all the diseases that you're going to get from taking this particular pill. But all the imagery in the background is a happy family. They're jumping around at the beach and all it could cause diarrhea. It could cause inflammation. It could cause death. And please consult your physician if, but we still take the pill. Why is it that we still take the pill?
I think a lot of people are eager for a quick solution, you know,
but it's not
like what you say, you can take a pill or you can take responsibility. It's infinitely harder to take responsibility and take blame because I mean, most autoimmune disease is self-inflicted. Now, you know, saying that being the case, that doesn't mean you look at yourself and you beat yourself up in the mirror and say, I'm a dummy. I shouldn't have done that. It's just about getting educated and knowing that there's a different way. It's about taking the responsibility of saying, look, this is where I'm at. We can't rehash the past. We have to move forward. I can either move forward with a learning and loving and nurturing type of behavior, or I can move forward and continue to pass on my responsibility of my health and my body and my life to somebody else who doesn't know me, doesn't come home and eat with my family, doesn't spend time with me on the holidays, doesn't know me from Adam. I've spent 5 minutes in a room with a guy in a white coat and he's given me a prescription that has the lethality to kill me and has told me that diet is unimportant. Like that's what really infuriates me the most. It's not that a person can go to a doctor and get a prescription. It's that a person can go to a doctor and the doctor can say nutrition is not important when they're not qualified to say that.
Correct.
I know what training in nutrition is about. I've got more than 10,000 hours in clinical training in nutrition. The average medical doctor has about 7 hours in a one nutrition class in medical school that didn't teach them about how good nutrition was. It taught them about how unimportant nutrition was. And that infuriates me because the average person goes to a doctor thinking that that doctor knows nutrition. So there's that level of trust and confidence in a person. It would be like, okay, if I'm going to the plumber and I'm saying, this plumber is qualified. This person knows how to fix pipes, but this person really never trained in fixing pipes. He trained in electrical engineering. So how well is that plumber who I think is a plumber going to fix this electrical problem? And again, it's a mismatch. The people that go to see the doctor don't realize that. Most people just have no idea.
So let's go back to little Ginger. You had mentioned that when you were in your residency, there was a young little girl that was given a death sentence. She was 9 years old, named Ginger. Let's take the process and just use Ginger as an example. What happened there?
So Ginger had a permanent stent embedded in her arm. So imagine your daughter, right? Your 9-year-old daughter with a permanent piece of plastic embedded in the arm because she was in and out of the hospital so frequently for severe pain racked across her whole body. Her knees would swell up to the size of softballs. Now she was a tiny little thing and she couldn't function. As a kid, she couldn't crawl on the floor like other kids. She couldn't go to the playground on the merry-go-round. She couldn't get on the swings. And here she was, being hopped up on very, very strong medications, told now that the medications have failed you, Mrs. You know, I won't mention her last name, but Ginger's mom, your daughter's getting ready to die. You need to go home and prepare for her funeral. There's nothing more we can do. And that's how she found me. She found me not as the first line of resort. She found me as we have no other choice. We got to go listen to this guy over here that the medical establishment is calling crazy. And we have to trust that that's going to work because we have no other options, right? Sure. So that's how they found me. And so when she came in, we ran tests. I'm a big believer in objectivity. I'm a scientist at heart. Mm-hmm. And so objectivity is testing for the right things and doing the right tests though become important. A lot of doctors test for what you have, but they don't test for why you have it. And I believe in testing for why a person might have a problem, not what they have. To me, it's infinitely more important and more valuable to know what changes we can empower a person to make. So we tested little Ginger for food allergies. We tested her for infections. We tested her for nutritional deficiencies, and we tested her for chemical responses. And one of the biggest problems we found with her was she was gluten sensitive. And so obviously the next step was going gluten-free. Now she had 6 months to live, but inside of 6 months after changing her diet, we had the stent removed from her arm. She was no longer going back to the hospital. Now Ginger today is in her 20s. She's graduated from high school. She played volleyball in high school. So she went from not being able to run around and do anything to being able to play volleyball. And all because we changed her diet. Gluten was the biggest culprit in her case.
Very good. What a great story. For those of you who'd like a copy of the book called No Grain, No Pain, 407-373-5959. Be the seventh caller to leave a message or text her, 407-373-5959, and get a free copy of No Grain, No Pain. And we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Osborne when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here. Right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn with one another. You can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I am really enjoying my conversation with Dr. Peter Osborne on and off the air. So I want to encourage you to go to whenyouneedafriend.com, become a subscriber. While you're there, check out my sponsors, because without my sponsors, there would not be a show. So please make sure that when you go to whenyouneedafriend.com, not only do you become a subscriber and get some free gifts and the show gets sent to you on your iPhone or tablet when you become a subscriber, you also get to some free gifts like my 90-day challenge to self-love ebook and all the different things that you get from just being a part of this movement. And I want to say here that whenyouneedafriend.com is created to change the way we look at the word responsibility. Earlier, Dr. Peter Osborne was talking about how, you know, we need to, you know, that it's not our fault, that we need to be responsible and look forward as opposed to backwards. So here's a little variation of that. And I just want to share this with Dr. Osborne as well. You know, the word responsibility that we talk about is about empowerment and freedom. It really doesn't matter what the past is, what's been done to you, what you've done. The moment that you say, I am taking ownership, no matter what has been done, I am taking ownership of how I respond to it, and I'm going to turn this into a blessing in my life, and I'm going to use this to bless others. That's the kind of responsibility. And I want to encourage you to join this reframing, join this movement of reframing the word responsibility from victim to empowerment, to responsible. And so if you, so once you're at whenyouneedafriend.com, click up my YouTube, click on YouTube, subscribe there, click on the buttons for my social media, like me there, and check out my podcast. You can go there. There's so many ways we can stay connected. You could also call me at 407-373-5959. This is where we look at life with curiosity. And today, if you want to learn more about Dr. Peter Osborne's book, it's called No Grain, No Pain. You can be the seventh caller or text her at 407-373-5959. Be the seventh caller to leave a message or text her to just say that you want the book, and you'll win a free copy of No Grain, No Pain. So here's the deal. Today we have Dr. Peter Osborne. Dr. Osborne, we were talking about your background. You're not an MD, you're a DC, who also has a pastoral and like a pastoral ministry, or what do you call it? Pastoral ministry in science. A doctorate in science, pastoral science. And I thought that was very neat how you said, you know, you have to separate both of them. You in the state of Texas, you have to separate both. But isn't that what healing is? It's a mind, body, spirit approach.
Absolutely.
So you have gone beyond that. So not only are you a doctorate, you have a doctorate in chiropractic, but you also focus on the spiritual aspect of it. And, you know, yesterday when I was looking at your book, I took lots of notes, we couldn't even discuss all of it today. But here's what I thought. How beautiful that you can take the spiritual aspect, because I've had doctor after doctor after doctor come on the Lil McDermott radio show and say, all disease has an emotional, spiritual component to it. So when it comes to autoimmune, let's just go there. When it comes to autoimmune, what combination have you seen that this is? You talked about the four causes of autoimmune diseases, which you say there's 190 autoimmune diseases. So you have food, chemical exposures, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, and you also have infection. Of all of that, how does that compare to the spiritual aspect, the emotional aspect from trauma or anything that's happened in our life that we refuse to look at?
So let me paint a picture for you, to be even more comprehensive.
Love pictures.
There's something called the triangle of health. And there's an image of this in the book as well. The triangle of health has three walls, all as triangles do. So imagine a triangle. And at the center of this triangle is your genetic code. You were born with this wonderful gift of your DNA. Mm-hmm. You are here today because your parents and grandparents and great grandparents and ad infinitum, they all survived. They all survived. And here you are, this miracle, right? Because you have the best DNA. So your genes are not to blame for any of your illness. So that's the center of your triangle. Now you have three walls of your triangle, and one wall is a spiritual wall. One wall is a biochemical wall, and another wall is a physical wall. So the four causes that we've been talking about are the four triggers along the biochemical wall. Mm-hmm. So those are biochemical triggers. Chemicals are defined as anything that you breathe in, eat in, take into your body from the environment that can affect you in ways that you cannot see. So they affect you when you eat, for example, when you eat some cabbage and that vitamin C in that cabbage, you don't see that vitamin C getting inside of you and doing a little dance and, you know, protecting you.
Vitamin C does. But go ahead. My cabbage all dances inside of me. Go ahead.
But those are the chemical elements. You don't see them at work, but we know they're at work because we can study them.
Gotcha.
The physical elements, there's an old saying, square tires don't roll. Structure dictates function. So if you're overweight, if you have scoliosis, if you sit in a desk for 12 hours a day and you never exercise, those are structural elements. Those can also contribute to disease as well. When we're sedentary, look, a body of water at rest becomes stagnant and ill. Right? Your body is a body of water. 70% of you is made out of water. So if you're still all the time and there's no motion and no movement, that's a physical imbalance. And so the physical wall is just as important.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of my chiropractic background, you know, we study the physical frame, the neuromusculoskeletal physical frame of the body. And then you have the spiritual side. And the spiritual side, you know, we've all probably heard our parents say this, you are who you hang out with. Right? That's true. You are who you hang out with. You are a reflection of the five best friends that you have in the world. You know, all those cliche things that you hear.
Show me who your friends are. I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
I remember going, mom, when I said that to my kids, mommy, where are you, mommy? And I became the mommy. Okay.
Right. Yes. But the spiritual and the personal energy you surround yourself with is going to impact who you are.
Yes.
And if you don't acknowledge that or aren't willing to acknowledge that, that's a big gaping hole in your health. So if you think of your genes as being, you can't change what they are, but you can change how they behave, right? And the way you change how your genes behave is through the walls of that triangle. You either behave physically different, you behave biochemically different, or you behave spiritually different, okay? And generally speaking, with autoimmunity, those three walls, not only do they talk to each other, as they talk to your DNA. So you can't separate one from the other. That's holism. And so the approach, you know, what I call the triangle of health, other doctors might call functional medicine, but the approach is we have to look at the person as they are, as a whole, and we can't put on blinders and say, okay, your knee hurts. We're only going to look at your knee, but we're not going to look at the tendons and the ligaments that attach to your knee. We're not going to look at the rest of your spine or your posture that might be contorted, that's putting extra pressure on your knee. We're not going to look at the nutrients that we know you need to build new cartilage. So we're going to ignore that component, right? And we're also not going to think about whether or not you might actually be doing some things in your life, like sitting too much or whatever that might be, that could be impacting your knee as well. So again, you go to the most doctors and they have a tunnel vision approach. And that the reason why that model has failed, and look around, we're full of a world of sick people. We have more illness and more disease, yet we spend more money than any other country in the world, and we're ranked 37th in overall healthcare, not because there's not enough drugs, but because there's not enough common sense that's being handed down from doctors. Doctor means teacher. So it's the position, in my opinion, of the doctor to teach the patient. The patient goes to the doctor because the doctor's at a level of trust, and the patient says, I trust you to give me the right information to help empower me. But that relationship is contorted in today's world, and that it's now, I trust you to give me what I need so that now I become dependent on you in order to continue to be symptomatic free or symptom free. And that just doesn't work. You know, the old Bible saying, give a man a fish or teach a man to fish. And I'm a big believer in teaching to fish so that we can eat for a lifetime. And that's what healthcare should be about.
Yes. And doctors now equate to God, because we go for that source of what's going to heal us. Now, I want to shift a little, because I know that the segment is almost to a close, but I do want to shift a little to what gluten is and why gluten. Maybe you can give us a real small explanation of why gluten bothers our body.
Simply put, gluten is not one protein. It is a family of proteins found in the seeds of grass. The seeds of grass, which are seeds, are designed not to be human food as much as they're designed to perpetuate their own species. If all the seeds were eaten up, there would be no more grass, right? So think of it like this, from a perspective of the seed is designed to protect itself from predators, just like you are designed to protect yourself from predators. You've got legs, you've got fists, you can fight, you can run, right? Seeds are not animate objects. They can't fight and run. They have to have the ability to protect themselves chemically, and they do. And the family of gluten proteins that are found in the seeds of grass is one of those biochemical protective mechanisms that they have. That's the simplest, non-scientific, non-technical way I can break it down.
I love it. I love it. Very powerful imagery. And we're going to continue our conversation, but first, please feel free to call 407-373-5959. Be the seventh caller or texter, 407-373-5959, and win your copy of No Grain, No Pain. And we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Peter Osborne when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
And welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where you can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I am your host, Lillian McDermott. I'm excited that we're having this conversation, No Grain, No Pain. Real quickly, Dr. Peter Osborne, for those of you, 407-373-5959, win a free copy of Dr. be the seventh caller or texter that wins a free copy of No Grain, No Pain. For those of you who maybe know somebody or have an autoimmune disease or are not feeling well and just can't figure out what you have, maybe you've been told that it's all in your head, and possibly it could be. It could be that you know, what's in your head is fear of being sick, and that fear of being sick promotes another fear. So, you know, there's so many different things that all work together. I love Dr. Osborne's example of the triangle, but let's talk about the grains, because Dr. Osborne, unfortunately, this is our last segment. I wish we could talk all day long about this, and I'm sure we could, but you have come up with the 30-day, it's like an elimination. Share a little bit about that and what grains are allowed. Because I earlier I said, no, not quinoa. You said quinoa is a grain as well. So let's talk about your 30-day challenge that you have.
So the 30-day challenge is broken down into two 15-day segments. So chapter 7 and 8 of the book break those down. The first 15 days is a little bit easier. We're eliminating grain. We're not eliminating as much food. Because what I'm really after is, in my experience, is very simple. When a person eliminates grain, if they have a chronic autoimmune disease, they feel better. And they feel better, you know, typically within 15 days, unless there's some other major crushing event or some other thing going on in their life, which also absolutely desperately needs to be addressed. But the vast majority of people with chronic autoimmune disease will feel better in the first 15 days. Then the second 15 days, so the 30-day, taking it out, we do a little bit more restriction. We're taking away the dairy and the sugar. We're taking away the processed artificial garbage foods. We're taking away the chemicals on top of the grain. Now, when I say grain, I don't mean wheat, barley, and rye. There's an entire community of people with celiac disease that have been told wheat, barley, and rye are the only foods that they need to avoid. But in my experience in the clinic, as well as in other researchers' experience, and this is actually how I stumbled across it, was a study came across my desk saying that 92% of celiac patients that went free, wheat, barley, and rye free, still had persistent inflammatory damage on their biopsies when they went back in to follow up with their doctors, even after being on a gluten-free diet for a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm. 92% of these people weren't healing. And when I started years ago, actually, it was in my patients that led me to this, because they weren't getting better. They were getting kind of better, and then they would go backwards again. And we actually called it gluten-free whiplash, because they felt better and then started going backwards. And so what we found is that there are other glutens. I was talking to plant scientists and botanists, and I'm like, well, tell me all about everything you know about gluten. And what we found was that gluten is not just in wheat, barley, and rye. There's one kind of gluten called alpha-gliadin, which is found in wheat, barley, and rye. And that protein was discovered in 1952. And it was labeled as the reason that celiac disease was being caused. But it was unfortunately mislabeled, because lots of different gluten proteins can cause celiac disease. Corn can cause the same villus atrophy that is present in celiac disease. So can soy. So can sugar. So can pesticides. And all the science has been done. All the research has been done. I didn't do the research. I just read the research and applied it in a clinical setting with patients. And what we found was nothing short of miraculous. All those people that were gluten-free whiplashed, right, that were like, I'm gluten-free, but I have six more autoimmune diseases and I don't know why. And here I'm on all these other medications. When we started eliminating all grain from their diet, something magical happened. And that was, they needed less medicine. They felt better. Their autoimmune diseases tended to dwindle down. And so from that perspective, over the last 15 years or so, I've just continued to refine that process.
Okay. And so you call it grainflammation. Grainflammation. Okay. So what about all these gluten-free products, Dr. Osborne? I mean, they have gluten-free beer, they have gluten-free oats, they have gluten-free, you name it. It's a new industry out there, and gluten-free is just like everybody's eating it up. So what do you say about that?
I say that industry is, for the largest part, extremely unhealthy. And whether we want to debate what gluten is in a scientific forum, that's one thing. But to create products for the gluten-free industry, remember who the people who need to go gluten-free are. They're chronically sick people. There's a rule in nutrition. You can't get healthy eating food that's not healthy.
Sure.
So to create a whole line of products and call them gluten-free and give them to people who are chronically sick and expect those people to somehow restore their health is foolhardy. And so that whole industry, I mean, those foods are full of processed garbage. They're full of hydrogenated fat. They're full of sugar. They're full of genetically modified ingredients. They're full of pesticides. And on top of it, most of them are made from corn and rice. And corn and rice are not gluten-free. And if you want to argue that, we can have a whole nother show and argue that. And
have that I'm not going to argue with you, that's for sure. Yeah. But I will research it too, because I did read that in your book. And I thought, you know, this is interesting. Rice and all these. So, you know, it made sense today was as you were saying that the thing that you said, you know, this gluten-free industry is going out there. They're making these claims. But the same thing happened with the sugar-free industry. So the sugar-free industry comes out and says, oh, this is sugar-free. And all of us started going sugar-free. And it was full of aspartame and full of junk that is just as poisonous for our body as, you know, the sugar is itself. So you're saying that this is a like an apples-to-apples comparison where the sugar-free industry has just boomed. The gluten-free industry now is booming, but how could they claim gluten-free if it has gluten in it?
Because the FDA's definition of gluten is alpha-gliadin. And the actual botanical definition of gluten isn't the same thing. So it's all about food. Remember, there wasn't even a food labeling law on gluten until just a few years ago. Yes. So it's really think of it as a renegade. It's a renegade area where we can call lots of things gluten-free. And until the food labeling law, now the food labeling law exists, it just has to be alpha-gliadin free, which means it has to be free of wheat, barley, and rye only. And if it has to test, if you're going to certify it gluten-free, it has to test for less than 20 parts per billion of wheat, barley, and rye protein. So that's basically what the FDA definition states can be
so labeled. What should we look at then if we are looking to truly be gluten-free? Just avoid all grain?
Avoid all grain. And if you're buying it in a box or a package, read the label. You know, it's not even just about avoiding grain. It's about eating real food. You know, if you can't pronounce the terms on the label, if it's a bunch of chemicals, that's not real food. And it doesn't matter whether it's gluten-free, truly gluten-free and grain-free or not. If it's garbage, it's garbage.
Well, what about China and all the places in Latin
America? Highest rates of diabetes in the world. Everybody thinks Chinese are like some kind of ancient wisdom, healthy people. You know, remember the old Calgon commercials?
Take me away. Oh, so you do remember some of these commercials.
Okay. Yeah. That's all marketing myth stuff. I mean, India has the worst diabetes rates in the world. China follows them. You know, they have their own chronic health issues, major, major chronic health issues. Let's not compare ourselves in America to those folks because of their rice consumption. They have big problems over it.
Well, I know that McDougal also, he's a lover of rice. I mean, so I wonder where that balance is. Now, not everybody is gluten intolerant, right?
So that's a good point. So to be very succinct here, I'm not saying that the whole world needs to be gluten free. I'm simply saying that if you suffer with an autoimmune disease and you don't know why you have it,
perfect.
Going gluten free, following no grain, no pain for 30 days is a great first step to see if that's a right move for you. But if you really want to know whether you're gluten sensitive or not, you need to get genetically tested. Genetic testing, there's two gene patterns. They're called HLA-DQ alpha-1 and HLA-DQ beta-1 genes. And if you get genetically tested, you will know whether or not the gluten-free diet is the right diet for you to follow. But again, we can't make blanket statements for the whole world. Everybody is going to be sick if they eat gluten.
I'm glad we covered that.
That's an important acknowledgement.
Very good. Dr. Peter Osborne, I have a feeling this conversation is going to continue, and it's something that we need to look into ourselves. So thank you so much, Dr. Osborne, for sharing this information, for letting us know that there's another. I'm still kind of like suffering over the quinoa issue because I thought this is going to be my thing is quinoa. I can beat it with quinoa. But thank you so much, Dr. Osborne, for sharing your wisdom and helping us see a new truth when it comes to grain. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. This has been great.
And to you, my listening friend, so much to look at, so much consider. What will you do with this information? Please remember, I'll be right here waiting for you worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. This is Lillian McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance. Make it the best day
ever.
Good job.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lilly and McDermott Radio Show are intended for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert before taking any steps to improve.